Joe Rich is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamyan. Thank you for listening.
Jeremiah.
And we are Amnesia, and you are listening to KBOO Portland.
Hi, this is Melissa Lesniak, the creator and host of That Vegan Show. On That Vegan Show, you will hear in-depth guest interviews on vegan-related topics, such as companion animals, environmentalism, social issues, and food and nutrition. We also learn about specific animals, such as possums and rabbits, including their needs and ways to help them. Be sure to tune in to That Vegan Show on the fourth Friday of the month at 11 a.m. right here on KBOO Portland.
Tantas luchas, tantos senderos, cada ser cosmo entero. Tantas luchas, tantos senderos, cada ser es un lucero que brilla, que brilla.
KPFA Berkeley, California. This is Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein, and we have our music live today. Joining us is our resident troubadour, Francisco Arreta, and his wonderful guest, Ona Valle. Welcome to both of you. Take it.
Tantas luchas, tantos senderos, cada ser es un cosmo entero. Tantas luchas, tantos senderos, cada ser es un lucero que brilla y nos guía en el camino de amor y alegría. Que brilla y nos guía.
And today on the show, an in-depth look at Haiti as a result of decades of U.S. counterinsurgency and illegal occupation. We'll be joined by longtime Haiti activist Pierre Labossiere. Also, the Day of the Dead has special meaning in the Mission District of San Francisco under daily threat now by Trump sweep. So we're going to hear a lot about Day of the Dead and getting ready, if you will, for whatever is going on. Later on in the broadcast, also joined by Miguel Gavilán Molina. And, there's so much more. Roberto Hernandez will join us, the honorary mayor of the Mission District. I don't know what else, who else could be a part of this. Take it, Francisco. I'm lost.
Que brilla, y nos guía en el camino de amor y alegría. Que brilla, y nos guía en el camino de amor y alegría.
And thank you. You are listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We are joined today by our resident troubadour, Francisco Herrera, and his guest, all of our guests, and what a joy it is. Una Valle. Have you folks sung together before?
A couple of times, I think.
Like 100,000 years yeah. of singing together. Yeah. Well, beautiful. So incredibly beautiful. We're going to hear more later on in the broadcast, but we have a lot to share with you. We're joined in studio by Pierre Lebeausier. Pierre, you know I'm a fan of poetry, and I was also a fan of Carolyn Scar, who was a strong supporter of Haiti and the whole Haitian community in its struggle, decades of struggle for liberation. So a real trooper, and she was a poet. We love poetry here. So I thought we'd read a little bit of a poem that she wrote just to share and remember and honor Carolyn Scar, really a fighter for the truth. She really never let go.
Indeed.
Yeah, she believed.
She was a true friend.
And she acted on her beliefs. So here's a little bit, and we miss her, and we wish the best to all family and friends. She wrote, "Sudden rain descends outside our dining room. Drops the size of thimbles strike the country yard awning in rackety thunder. People run to bring cushions in from chairs, take down clothes from the line, shut windows. Runoff from the brief downpour coverage on the city below, built on the dump. The child care center is knee-deep in brown water. Mud and garbage flow in a filthy slurry from surrounding suburbs down to Cité Soleil, the city of the sun." She obviously went to Cité Soleil. She went to see for herself. She was that kind of supporter of the community.
Indeed.
And I believe she's one of the people who immediately made the case that I needed to go
to see what
is going on there. And I, of course, had my mind turned around, had the chance to walk through the streets with Jean-Bertrand Aristide.
Right.
Because of work that she and others like yourself did to bring this struggle, the struggle of the Haitian people, to the world. This is what you are continuing. So we say goodbye. We cherish Carolyn Scar, and we welcome you back, Pierre, because there is important news about Haiti, what's going on the ground there, and the kind of terror Haitian people in this country are now feeling, given what's going on the streets.
Yes.
So please talk to us about that.
Yes, something I want to say about the title of the poem is Invoking the Flood.
Invoking the Flood, right.
I was with her on that delegation when she wrote that poem. And actually, we were supposed to go to Cité Soleil, as she mentioned in the beginning of the poem. And then it rained, and the next day when we went there to visit that school, that community center, where there was a school, a children's program, we saw it was knee-deep, as she describes. And then she connected that with the Lavalas movement, because Lavalas means flood. So towards the end of the poem, she talks about, let us reverse the gravity, and let us make water flow back.
Yes.
So it can be a cleansing flood.
We need that
that will cleanse and bring the city of light.
Yes.
So it's a very powerful poem that she wrote, and I was, you know, one of the people who happened to be there with her on that trip.
We're going to honor it. We're going to put it up on the website.
Indeed, I'll send it to Dennis.
And we mourn the loss of a fighter. Mm. For freedom and for the truth.
Indeed. And she was also she's a long-term founding member of Ecumenical Peace Institute. They did all that work on Livermore to stop the proliferation of nuclear weapons. So a great lady.
Did many things. There were many goods in her life.
Many goods.
Right? We all learned a lot. Pierre, Haiti now, once again, is the thieves of America are at work. The situation on the ground there is not good.
The people
who are on the ground, they are controlling certain parts of the land, have up, are up to no good for the Haitian people, as if they haven't suffered enough. But give us an overview, and
that's great.
Then let's bring in Robert Roth to get a real deep human rights perspective.
Yes, indeed.
Could you
let me turn off the phone so that it doesn't ring and interrupt us?
And this is Flashpoint, this is the People's Radio Network. You know, we were invented in 1949 to speak truth to power, to do shows just like this, to give voice to folks like Pierre Lebossier. Give us what you know, and tell us what you're hearing from your friends as well on the ground.
Compounding this whole situation of those death squads, the paramilitary death squads who are sowing death and destruction to the people of Haiti. About 10 days ago, they attacked again the Artibonite region, places and cities like Liancourt, and other places, and Des Armes and others, La Chapelle, and they were destroying the rice fields of the peasants. And there is a video that shows the destruction where they are cutting the rice off and setting it on fire. So I cannot say purposeless, you know, because there is obviously a purpose, which is to destroy the people of Haiti. They are at the very basic level of food production, chasing the peasants off their land, burning down homes in cities and places like that. So then in the wake of that, here comes Hurricane Melissa, which has wrought so much destruction. From what I heard, it's 36 people, though Haiti was not hit, did not get a direct hit, but Jamaica and Cuba got hit, but the island with the Haiti and the Dominican Republic, there was so much rainfall. You see, and this is an effect of global warming and the whole thing regarding the warming of the climate and what's happening there, so that those, we are getting the more and more monstrous hurricanes that bring in, that carry a lot more water, and it drops down in terms of rainfall, and that creates a lot of landslides in Haiti. Haiti is very hilly. A number of people were killed. Many fields were destroyed, livestock. Quite a major, major crisis. They are still trying to account for the many people who have disappeared. So many people have died. The number up to what I was told just on the way here is up to 36 confirmed dead.
Wow.
And quite a number of disappeared that they are still looking for. So,
and you add to that, Pierre, the destroying of rice fields. Tell us a little bit of the Antibonite area. We can have a picture that
yes.
we could see.
The Artibonite region is, when you're looking at a map of Haiti, it's more towards the central area. And it's a very fertile region where the Artibonite River flows. It's one of the largest rivers in Haiti, if not the largest. And right there, people do a lot of rice production. It's like the granary of Haiti, you know, in terms of food production and what have you. So that's where, for a long time, those paramilitary death squads that the media refers to as gangs, and I will stay away from the term gang because it tends to lessen who they are working for. And when you talk to almost every Haitian, they'll tell you that this is the government of Haiti is in cahoots with them, along with foreign governments. And that's why these guys have been allowed to grow and really spread their destruction, such as gang rape of women, you know, destroying people's homes, burning people alive. There is a lot of organ trafficking also that is taking place in Haiti. The number of people who are being disappeared, their organs are taken, and I'm quoting here. I'm quoting here a member of the Presidential Council, Leslie Voltaire, who said it, you know, so it's not me making it up. So all the things you could think of. So in short, we are looking at human trafficking, where a lot of money is being extorted from families whose relatives are being kidnapped and suffering the worst kinds of atrocities, and demand is made of those families for money. And those monies are used to buy weapons. Most of the weapons, I'd say 98% of the weapons, are coming from the U.S. So it could be stopped. You see, this thing about putting a bounty on the head of some of these guys, this is ridiculous. When has the U.S.
Well, they might want to put a bounty on the head of Eric Prince. I mean, please explain to me what he is doing in Haiti now. How could it be this warrior for the white state of America is in Haiti? I mean, this is, feels familiar in a strange way, Pierre.
Yeah, it's a very murky. Even the government supposedly signed a contract with him. Some of them are saying they know nothing about it. They don't know anything about it. Some others are saying, well, it's the prime minister, and you don't get a real clear answer. Oh, but the thing is, it's in the media, it's everywhere. So the Haitian people feel that there is a, they are trying to fool everybody as to really what they want to do. But the reality is the Haitian people are being systematically killed, kidnapped, gang raped. Belongings are really going in smoke, and this is what's happening. But along with that, I have to say that people are not giving up.
Yeah.
People are fighting. People are resisting. They are resisting against guns, against submachine guns, automatic guns, some mounted on that so-called gangs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And where do they have access to these? But people are using sticks, stones, and whatever machetes, whatever they have to protect their communities and their neighborhoods.
Let's bring in your colleague, Robert Roth,
who is
a master of human rights and knows, really can tell us detail by detail what is going on in the ground and what the, you know, the pressing concerns are. We're running out of time. Robert Roth, welcome to Flashpoints. Good to have you back. Would you say a little bit about the situation in Haiti? What do we need to know at this point? I know it's grim.
It is grim. And, you know, I think Pierre just explained in a nutshell, you know, the crux of the matter, which is that you have a paramilitary force, series of death squads, very much like the Tonton Macoutes under the Duvalier regimes. And these paramilitaries have been receiving arms from the U.S., as Pierre said, like well over like 90% of the weapons are coming from South Florida. And it's been documented by UN reports, by U.S. reports, and yet the flow of weapons never stops. And so these are AK-47s, AR-15s. These are high-powered weapons, not, you know, not just like handguns, although, you know, estimates are that there are 500,000 illegal weapons in the hands of these paramilitaries. And who are they being used against? They're being used against opposition neighborhoods. They're being used against the poor, and they're being used to destroy civil society. And I think that the purpose of what these paramilitaries are doing is to ensure that right-wing governments maintain control in Haiti over a population that is both restive, oppressed, resistant, and always resilient. And so one of the things that's been happening, as Pierre just said, is that there is large-scale resistance in communities, but these communities are outgunned. And so they're trying to defend themselves, and then they're being targeted by the government. And they're being targeted, like if you read the mainstream press here, there's as much critique of the population trying to defend itself as there is of the paramilitaries attacking the population. And what the U.S. wants in this period is they want to stabilize, in their own words, the country so that they can hold another round of fake elections and put in a more permanent right-wing government. Right now, they have a transitional government that is just overseeing this disaster in Haiti. And one of the things that, you know, Pierre will always say, because he gets calls from Haiti all the time, is there is absolute frustration with the current government because they're doing so little to protect the population. And, you know, if you look even at Hurricane Melissa and you look at, like, for example, Cuba, where there were no fatalities reported yet, 750,000 people were evacuated in a very organized, you know, government. It was a government that is connected to the people. And so they were able to organize a real response to Hurricane Melissa, whereas in Haiti, people are on their own. And so in the area that Pierre was just talking about, there's no government presence. There's no support for the people. People are like living again in shelters or under tarps. And, you know, after decades of this, since the 2004 coup, people of Haiti are sick of it. They're calling it hell on earth. They're saying we have to overturn the cauldron. And they're, you know, organizing themselves because they're on their own. The population is on their own. And so one of the things that we've noted, for example, is that in the midst of this, you have the Aristides, who have created this amazing institution, UNIFA, which has over 4,000 students. It has the only medical residency program at their teaching hospital. It's the only one left in the country, the only functioning medical residency program. And this is a university that receives so little support from within Haiti, right? From certainly not from the government. And yet it's able to do things that are not happening in the rest of the country. We're supporting women's groups that are organizing in these camps because there's been over 1.4 million people, Dennis, have been displaced over the last 2 years in Haiti. Internal refugees in a country of 12 million. Think of like the percentage there. And, you know, so a lot of the people have been traumatized by the attacks on their community. And women's organizers are providing support programs for the many women and girls who have been gang raped. And they're providing both medical, like access to medical care, and also psychological help. And those are the kinds of programs that we see as the future of Haiti, you know, because it's not, the picture is not just about paramilitary violence. The picture is also of a people that continue to organize in whatever way they can to resist this and move forward.
That's right.
And if you can just very briefly sum up, so what are the most urgent things that need to be done, that we need to know about Haiti in terms of the, because we know Pierre tells us with great power that people are in present danger all the time. In that context, what do you recommend?
Can you hear me, Dennis?
Yes.
Am I coming through? Okay. Well, one of the things I wanted to say is, like, you, when we look at Haiti, we have to, like, we have to see the connection to an overall imperial strategy. I mean, today I read in the Miami Herald that the Trump administration is on the verge of military strikes in Venezuela. And obviously what they're doing in Venezuela, where they're pretending that this is about drugs, and really it's about attempting to overthrow the Maduro government.
Right.
We know that they're targeting Cuba. There's been 10,000 troops sent to the Caribbean, most of them based in Puerto Rico, where the Puerto Rican people have been protesting it because they see that this is like the advance guard of attacks on Venezuela, on Colombia, and eventually targeting Cuba. And so when we see what the U.S. administration is attempting to do in Haiti, we have to see it as part of an overall plan to seize full control over the Caribbean, which they've always seen as their backyard, and which is now a focal point of their strategy. And one of the things that we're trying to do is to build interconnection with the struggles in Venezuela, Cuba, Puerto Rico, Haiti, what's happening in Jamaica, and also, of course, with the struggle in Palestine, because they have one strategy, but too often we isolate each other. in our various silos, and we don't connect the struggles, and that's the only way that we're going to end up being able to resist what's a global enemy.
Well, we thank you, Robert Roth. Listen, you and Pierre are always welcome back. Pierre knows he doesn't even have to knock. He can just come back in the live studio.
If I may say this, Dennis, very quickly. Today, I know that it's a big anniversary for us in Haiti.
Yes.
It's the anniversary, two of them. One is the great resistance fighter, Charlemagne Peralt, who stood up to the Marine occupation in 1915, the U.S. occupation in 1915, and he was killed today on the 31st. Also, this marks in 1919, and this today also marks the tomorrow will be the beginning of the La Saline massacre. And I wanted people to take a good reading at this. There is a report called the La Saline massacre, which is on the website of HaitiSolidarity.net, but people can also go to National Lawyers Guild San Francisco chapter website, and they'll find it there.
Beautiful.
So these are, and it will give you a lot of details as to what is actually the current situation.
And Robert?
And to donate to, like, the grassroots movement in Haiti or to hurricane relief right now, people should go to www.HaitiEmergencyRelief.org, and that's for the Haiti Emergency Relief Fund, which goes directly to people in need in Haiti. No overhead, no staff. Goes directly to folks that need it in Haiti.
Robert, Pierre, we really appreciate the information. We appreciate the freedom to have these airwaves to share it over KPFA Pacifica Radio. This is the Flashpoint Show, and I am absolutely honored to have our resident trooper Francisco Herrera here with a special guest, Ona Valle. We welcome both of you back.
Thank you, Dennis. Yes, and in solidarity with Haiti, who's teaching us how to work, how to resist, how to keep pushing for that dream of beloved community. The closeness that we are with each other, body to body. Una Valle from the Playground Experience, she'll tell us a little bit about what they're doing. Also from Canticle Farm. Offering this song that you wrote yourself. Basing on the abejitas, the bees, and the nature, and the connection that we are body to body with each other. Viva Haiti.
Just take it as a compliment. The bugs must really like your scent. Or you can take it as a message sent. This life you have is really just lent. The blood that's flowing through your veins has gone through infinite change. So if you're stained with the sting of the bite, feeling the pain of the loss of your life, just know. It's the breaking of the dam so the blood can flow. In your skin is a free acupuncture session. You know the bees, they know your points, exactly how to loosen up your joints. You know they sacrifice their lives so we can get that healing just right. So if you're stained with the sting of the bite, feeling the pain of the loss of your life, just know. It's the breaking of the dam so the blood can flow. From body to body, connecting us all. From body to body, connecting. from body to body, connecting us all from body to body, connecting us all. You can take it as a consequence when you choose to put up a fence between me and you and call it self-defense. It's the illusion of independence. We begin to lose touch with the truth of how much. In the light we focus on our edges, but in the shadows we are all connected. So if you're scared of the dark of the night, feeling impaired by the loss of your sight, just know,
just know,
it's the crumbling of the walls so that life can flow. From body to body, connecting us all. From body to body, connecting us all. From body to body, connecting us all. From body to body,
body to body,
connecting us all.
Thank you. Beautiful. You're listening to Flashpoints. Can you believe it? On Pacifica Radio, our troubadour in residence, Francisco Herrera. And tell us about who this
Una Baez is. One of our local geniuses, musician, and songwriter, poet, playwright.
Good job.
And just all around great cultural worker who actually just came back from a conference of cultural workers somewhere in the middle of the country.
That's right, over with the Cairo Center for faith-based cultural organizing. We got a lot of really beautiful stuff coming out of Kairos that I'm excited to share about eventually. Today, I would love to share about an event that's actually coming up.
We're going to get there.
Beautiful.
But we have Miguel Gavilan Molina. We have a special guest, Gavilan, running late.
Yes, we do. We are running late. But that said, Lalo, are you there?
I am here.
Orale, gracias, Lalo, for joining us. For those that don't know, Lalo has been a lifelong, and I'm going to call you artist activist, and always at the front of the Chicano movement for the last 2, 3, 4 decades. And I got to know Lalo in the beginning when he was up here at UC Berkeley, and he came out with a comedy troupe called the Chicano Secret Service. At this time, we need the Chicano Secret Service to investigate the federal judiciary and, of course, the DOJ and all that. But Lalo, it's good to have you with us. It's been a while. And one of the things in having conversations with Dennis was about your work, and a lot of your work has drawn a lot of attention, of course, you know, amongst the indigenous, the Chicano, the Latino communities throughout the country, and for that matter, the continent. Your work is known up and down the continent here, but it's also brought a lot of hostility towards you. I've heard that you've been a lot of threats, a lot of people trying to, they're trolling you, but you push back in this resistance art, and that's what I want to talk to you about, you know, is art as resistance. And like sure. I said, you're at the forefront of that. Where is that right now, Lalo? Because right now, as you know, the domestic war is intensifying. The madman in the White House has turned it into the white supremacist house and has turned the U.S. Supreme Court into supremacist court. But where is art and yourself at this moment?
You know, for me, Gavilan, it's good to hear your deep bass voice, man. We always talk about you at KPFK. Today I had my radio show, The Pocho Hour of Power.
Yes.
And I love being on our sister station, KPFA. That's where I started so many years ago. And Gary Baca, a guy I met up there on radio, who's on KPFA a lot, on Calix, he's our producer, but he's also like the station manager at, I'm sorry, he's a program director at KPFK. So how things turn, right? the circle turns. But anyway,
the world turns and the frijoles burn.
That's right. But you know, I feel like right now I've made a little turn, and I feel like for many years I've been resisting in the most, you know, staunchest and angriest way, and trying to learn how to do political cartoons that entertain, amuse, but also have a serious punch, you know. And sometimes, you know, I get bummed out when people misread my cartoons think that I'm trying to be funny every single time, and I'm not, you know. Like, there's some serious topics out there that just can't, you know, you can't just, like, laugh off, right? And, but, you know, political satire is necessary at this time because we need to laugh and we need to feel empowered, you know? And I feel like some of my latest work, once in a while I will do, you know, some work that just entertains but also it has a positive spin, you know, like I have that resistance kind of spin. Mm-hmm. But that's more of a, you know, I want people to feel like, to get animo, you know, to get ganas, to get, to feel like you're not alone, right? I know we all have that thought, right? Like, am I going crazy? Yeah, like, is this, is this latest headline, is that for real or is that the Onion, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's how I feel. I want to bring that, you know, commiserating, but through laughter and joy, you know?
Oh, Lalo Alcaraz, one of my heroes, Francisco Herrera here. Oh, yes, I agree with you. It feels like the word that rings to me that I wanted to ask you to do a cartoon is called farce. Just everything seems to be such a farce, correct?
Right. And luckily, I think everything's funny, you know, which is like something I got from my mom. And which is like, she laughed at all the inappropriate stuff in our life. Yeah. And I think that's the very Mexican thing to do. You know, she's from Sinaloa, and, you know, I mean, people in Mexico sit around and laugh at their lives. You know what I mean? Like, and I think we need to carry that with us in our DNA, you know, forever, because, how do you get through these periods? You know, you can't, like, succumb and lose your mind and, you know, be just sad every day. You know, you have to feel empowered and strong and feel like, I can get through this. I will get through this, you know. And also, you know, tyrants don't like when you laugh at them. Look at this orange calabaza. You know, happy Halloween, by the way. Look at this guy. He is the most thin-skinned guy on the planet, you know?
Yeah, and how about the most farcical thing I heard this week was the lady from Venezuela getting the Nobel Peace Prize, and the people had actually thought that what's his name, the orange calabaza, was supposed to somehow get this.
It's just amazing. Yeah, it's like the headlines, right?
Right.
They test your brain. Is this for real? is this for real?
Dennis Bernstein here, Lalo. So good to have you with us. We appreciate your presence and Gavilan making sure that we had you a part of this conversation. I oftentimes think journalism is important and getting a perspective is important, but in the nature of art, you know, it sort of skips the brain and sometimes goes right to the heart or hits us in a different place, gives us information in a different way. What do you think about that? Because there are many ways to educate and expand people.
Oh, yeah, sure. There's the internet has so many things to offer. And I like the enthusiasm people have where they're learning things for the first time. But I also want things to be accurate, you know, and to, many people have said, like, you know, keep an open mind, but not so open that your brains slide out, you know. You got to, like, have critical thinking, too. And that's a big part of informing each other.
That's what seems so powerful about the work you do, Lalo, is that you create an image that really does that. It really makes us think and say, yes, exactly what I'm feeling, or, oh, what does he mean this time? And it forces you to look into it. It's the just really waking our mind and our heart up, you know.
Yes, we need to survive all this. You know, our people have survived so much, and you know, they've kept going. You know, African American people, they've survived so much, and they've kept on going. And you know, we can do it too. And we have to spread that joy and laugh. And I have to laugh at inappropriate things. All the time. I'm 12 years old inside still.
Pero that said, Lalo, you know, we're approaching the Day of the Dead weekend, starting tomorrow, the first, and then the second Sunday. And I just want to let the world know, or our listeners, that Lalo was a creative force behind the animated movie that came out a few years ago called Coco, where it educated, you know, it educated the world, it educated the U.S. American public and others, especially Christian-based, you know, societies, to not to be afraid of death, that death is part of living. And you know, that threw it into like a world scene. It's been seen all over the world. Where are you today, especially where we have survived, we have witnessed 2 years of this onslaught genocide in Palestine?
Yeah, it's just horrifying. It's like, you know, the Palestine, Gaza, it's just like the, I mean, not exactly, like the videos of, you know, watching the kids, just, you know, it's just horrifying to watch, and you don't get numb to it. I don't know, you get raw with it, you know, like it's hard to watch the videos of ICE beating our people every day. There's a new video every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a lot, but we have to, I don't know, we have to kind of toughen ourselves, you know. I mean, you know, they don't show videos of American soldiers getting killed in Afghanistan, right? They do that for a reason, because that would numb the public, or it would also expose what's going on, you know. And so that's why we get censorship on some of these things, and it's just, you know, it's a give and take. So I mean, I am personally, I can only take so much. And I think that's why I escape into comedy.
And it's not, say escape, and maybe it is, but it's, I also like to think of it as transcendence.
Yes.
We transcend through a wider look at the world. But I'm telling you, your work is eye-opening.
Simon.
And the, you know, we're all inspired. We hope you'll come back and continue to share your work with us. Gavilan thinks the world of you, and we all do as well. We thank you for joining us, and we're going to go back please come back again. What we're going to do...
Can I come back?
Yes.
When we launch my latest project, which is called Contra ICE, and it is a music compilation album, so that's perfect.
As far as I'm concerned, you're already back. And we'd love to, come back yesterday, anytime.
We've got Los Lobos on it. We got Beastie Boys.
Yeah,
we've got Fred Armisen. We got everybody.
Oh, you should have called me. I would have gotten on there. No te creas.
All right. Well, speaking of you, Francisco Herrera, we are joyous to have you back, and remind us who's with us.
And with us, Una Valle. And I think one of the things right now is...
Lalo, are you still there?
I am here.
Yeah, good one.
Órale, Lalo. Pues mira, gracias for joining us here. And as soon as you got the compilation, let us know, let me know. And Simón, que yes, we will feature it here and launch it in Norte, California.
Estoño.
All right. Thank you so much. It's going to be one of the biggest things I've ever worked on. And guess what? Coco 2 has been greenlit. So look for Coco that in two, only 4 years.
like Coco also, you mean?
Yeah, Coco 2, Dead Again.
Dead Again, órale, la muerte okay. sigue. El baile con la muerte, órale. Gracias, gracias, Lalo.
All right,
gracias, Lalo.
Thank you so much.
Órale. Well, on that note, it's important to I just want to thank folks for coming out and supporting Adopt a Block, Dennis and Gavilan, and it's related to what Una's going to share with us. It's been a wonderful response, and we still are in very much need of that and of people's support. So, folks can go to adoptacornersf@gmail.com as far as interested, or call us at 415-529-9675.
And what is Adopt a Corner?
An Adopt a Corner that we spoke of last week is a wonderful response, community response that's happening in many cities, and here in the Bay Area, all the cities where day laborers look for work or people gather, or now we're actually having Adopt a School too, where folks are watching, supporting our neighbors to help them take their kids to school, decrease the amount of possibilities that people could get kidnapped and taken away. And folks are really coming through. And what Una will share with us about is actually support for the Immigrant Defense Committee. But Gavilan, go ahead.
No, I think we have Roberto Hernandez, a.k.a. the mayor.
Oh, that's right. Roberto, are you there? Roberto Hernandez.
Hello?
Ahí estás. Es todo, brother. Hermanito. Good, Robert. You're here with us, right, Roberto?
Hey, buenas tardes.
Buenas tardes, Roberto. I'm here with Dennis and Francisco and a compañera here. And one of the reasons we reached out to you, Roberto, is because I know you've been inundated by people fearful of losing SNAP and access to food. How has that been this week? Because I know when I talked to you earlier, you were just like flooded with people's concerns, urgency, and people afraid of losing food. And it's almost as if this government has intentionally cut food and is weaponizing it, you know, to punish people. How have you dealt with this in the mission in San Francisco?
Well, first of all, the issue we need to take a step back and really look at what is really happening in our country in terms of food.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to, so people get a better idea, right? Is that food costs continues to rise every single day, right? So when you look at food, the number of people that are, if you're a minimum wage worker, you can't afford food. So, you know, that's been an issue that we've been addressing. Prior to all this issue with SNAP is the cost of food, right? And so that's food cost. The second issue is that during the pandemic, as you know, there was a lot of food pantries that opened up. In the last, here in San Francisco, in the last 5 months, there have been 9 food pantries that have actually closed.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Last week, I got a call from St. Peter's Church. And Francisco, you're very familiar with St. Peter's Church.
Simon,
They are closing their food pantry.
Híjole.
Asacion Mayat, which Francisco and Brother Miguel, you're familiar with them.
Sí.
Asacion Mayat, their funding for 300 Mayan families got cut. Okay? And I'm going to stop there just to put it in perspective so you understand. So now you got food prices going up. You got food pantries that are being shut down because there's no funding available. And then to worsen the crisis, you got the federal government now saying, we're going to cut SNAP because the government shut down. Well, the government shut down, but they're still funding the Army, the Navy, the Air Force and the military. I don't see them shutting that down, mm-hmm. right? You know, so when you look at where's the human, you know, element within our society and our government, and that's the issue that is causing panic across the country. And I'm not only talking about Latinos, but if you look at the majority of people who are SNAP, they're white. So now they're going to go after white America.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 115,000 in San Francisco, 115,000 people, right, Roberto, are on food stamps in San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah, alone San Francisco. But when you look at the country itself, and in fact, I had one of the our partners over at Stanford who does research, he just sent me today, there's 7 million white people, and that's not counting Italians and French, and because they kind of break it down so that you don't look at it in terms of white, right? But when you look at that number, you're talking about 10 million white folks that are on this program. And if you look, break it down by state, right? See, and the reason I bring that up is because every time you talk about government programs, and especially in the last 5 years, is that all these immigrants are taking the resources from our government and our tax dollars. That is absolutely a lie.
A farce.
And that's why I always go to research and data to put it into perspective. And so how is it that you can leave people starving? And not only that, but then you look at all the small businesses and medium-sized businesses that are going to be impacted by people not being able to shop for food. That's not being addressed, not being talked about.
Well, yeah. And, you know, if you really think about it, it's not going to be the undocumented workers who do the hardest work in this country. They're not going to be getting cut off from their checks because they ain't getting any checks.
In the first place. Right.
So, you know, it is interesting and important to think about where that money is going. Not that it doesn't matter, and we don't want anybody to be hungry in this world. This is incredibly important information. And before we let you go, Mr. Hernandez, Senor, what is the number one thing on your mind? What is number one in terms of what people should be doing, and where they should be going, and how must this, should this holiday, this celebration, this Day of the Dead, be celebrated and understood in the day of what's going on this moment in history?
So two things I got to tell you, that we're at the Mission Food Hub, we're ramping up to open up an extra day, because again, we don't want people waiting in line, and we already got 463 people who have asked us for food. So we're ramping up to open up a second day. Third is that we're going to need, of course, like we did during the pandemic, more volunteers. So if you're listening out there and you want to do something, you can volunteer at the Mission Food Hub. And third of all, if you can't volunteer, make a contribution. Go to the Mission Food Hub. We're on social media. You can find us on our website, or you can go to Instagram or Facebook and catch us there and make a contribution. And the third thing, and most important, that in addressing Dia de los Muertos, right, I want to invite everybody. We're having a musical tribute to the late Maestro Eddie Palmieri that passed away. And Eddie Palmieri was a major, major, you know, beautiful, amazing soul and spirit that provided us with just wonderful Latin jazz, salsa music through many decades, and came to San Francisco many times, not only at Carnaval, but at Yerba Buena and many other clubs around the Northern California. And So that's going to be the homenaje is going to be at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts Garden Saturday, November 1st from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And we're going to have a community altar we're creating. So we invite you to bring a photo of a loved one. And if they loved horchata, bring them a glass of horchata. If they like tacos, bring them a taco. And you can put it on the altar, or candy, or whatever you remember them for. And the other thing that we're going to do is going to have free face painting, so you can get your face painted and bring a candle. And we're going to have the Latin Jazz Youth Ensemble, and we're going to have the Danzante Aztecas doing opening ceremony at 4 o'clock. So come and get a nice little cleansing, especially in this time, you know, to let you feel, you know, free of this hate and anger that's going on in this country.
Wonderful. And Gavilan, where are you going to be?
On my knees, screaming at the heavens.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Roberto. Thank you.
Always appreciate your presence, and the information is crucial, obviously. You are listening to Flashpoints. We do have two wonderful musicians, our troubadour resident and a guest, and we'd love to...
Well, as one of the beautiful things that has come through, as with the resistance that we heard about from the Haitian people, the Immigrant Defense Committee in the East Bay and West Bay, it's called Immigrant Emergency Response, people are coming together to support each other. And Una Valle from the Proyecto Grund, ¿cómo se llama?
Playground
Experience, and Cantico Farm, and also Caminante Cultural Foundation. You guys have put together a little play. Tell us a little bit what you guys are doing.
That's Una. Right, yeah. Thank you. And first off, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's such an honor to be with y'all powerhouses. And I just want to shout out something that Lala was bringing up earlier of, like, despite all of this terrible stuff that's happening, like, we need to continue to find spaces to cultivate that animal. And so that's really what our hope is for this gathering that we're putting on next weekend, November 8th and 9th. We're going to have a participatory musical theater experience. It's not just a play. It's like if you come, you know, you might just find yourself behind a mask or operating a puppet. Yeah, and really one of the intentions of this space, not just to raise support for the Immigrant Defense Committee, but also to be a platform for folks to come together and connect across their cultural differences, across their language differences. We've got so many people out on the streets getting activated, doing foot patrols. You know, Francisco's mentioning Adopt a Corner. We've got so many of people in our community who are getting out there and ready to show up in solidarity. And yet, there is still just a lack in having spaces where folks can actually create that authentic connection, so that folks can call upon that solidarity force and that accompaniment when they really need it. So our hope for this space is to bring folks across those language differences. We're going to have songs in Spanish, songs in English. We will even have some Mayan languages represented by some of the actors. And really, one of the main things that will be uplifting, spoiler alert, is the wisdom from the bees, specifically from the native bees of Mesoamerica, and the ways that they teach us how to connect and work together, using different forces, using body language, you know, using the forces of nature. So, you know, really tapping into that nonverbal communication and connection.
Let's hear that. I hear that buzz for the bees. We just have 2 minutes.
Is there an email or a number?
If you're on Instagram, you can find us at Playground Experience. That's PLAYGRND Experience. And you can find out more about how you can sign up and come join the show. You can also feel free to text me. If you're not on Instagram, text me at 917-767-6450 and I can send you the event link.
917-767-6450.
And do you know all the bee dances?
Yeah, I'm still learning.
There are so many. They're incredible.
I also want to mention to people that Father Greg Boyle, founder of Homeboy Industries, will be speaking at St. Ignatius Church next Sunday, the 9th at 2 p.m. In support for Nuevo Sol Day Labor Domestic Workers Center. We'll talk more about that on Friday. And this is one of the songs, ¿verdad?
Mm-hmm.
¿Cómo va?
Tantas luchas, tantos senderos, cada ser es un cosmo entero. Tantas luchas, tantos senderos, cada ser es un lucero que brilla y nos guía en el camino de amor y alegría. Que brilla y nos guía en el camino de amor y alegría. Mis compañeros, como les admiro, y todos juntos, qué bello tejido.
Tantas luchas, tantos senderos, cada ser un cosmo entero. Tantas luchas, tantos senderos, cada ser es un lucero que brilla y nos guía en el camino de amor y alegría. Que brilla y nos guía en el camino de amor y alegría. Tantas luchas, tantos senderos, cada ser un cosmo entero. Tantas luchas, tantos senderos, cada ser es un lucero.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.